thee, Lord God Almighty. All thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, your God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Oh, glory to your holy name, Lord. That the whole earth should give you glory, it's your creation. That all of us give you glory. And we are your creation, created in your image, Lord. And we know you're a holy God. And we don't even understand what holy really is, except that you teach us. And thank you, Lord. God, the Holy Spirit, you be our teacher as we look to the Word of God today. We're thankful for the opportunities that you give us. Very thankful for them, and we need those opportunities. We want to be like you, Jesus. Hallelujah. In your name, Jesus, we pray. We'll have no other king but King Jesus. Amen. Well, today let's turn to the 89th chapter of the book of Psalms. Been going through this passage of scripture this week a few times, and as I often say, we cannot understand these things in the natural. We can't understand the Word of God without the help of the Holy Spirit. We'll simply say that the Lord is the one that wrote the scriptures. He used various people in the writing of these scriptures. This chapter is kind of a long one, being 52 verses, but so much there that's worth looking at, particularly right now. And the issues of things like, for example, covenant, the word is used there in the King James translation. So, we've got four of us that are assigned to read today. So, we'll do 13 each. I will start off today. Psalm 89, beginning at verse 1. Book of Psalms, Psalm 89. Of course, little word of teaching there. It's the book of Psalms, but each chapter is a psalm. It's the book of Psalms, and each chapter is a psalm. It's Psalm 89. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever, and your faithfulness you shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to my servant David, your seed I will establish forever, and build up your throne to all generations, Selah. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. For who in the heavens can be compared to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened to the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be held in reverence by all those around him. O Lord, God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. You have broken Rahab into pieces. As one who is slain, you have scattered your enemies with your mighty arm. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world and all its fullness, you have founded them. The north and the south, you've created them. Tabor and Hermon, rejoice in your name. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Praise God for hearing his word. That's Psalm 89, verses 1 through 13.
And continuing on in the English Standard Version, Psalm 89, verses 14 through 26. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face, who exult in your name all the day, and in your righteousness are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength. By your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. Of old you spoke in a vision to your godly one, and said, I have granted help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil I have anointed him, so that my hand shall be established with him. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not outwit him. The wicked shall not humble him. I will crush his foes before him and strike down those who hate him. My faithfulness and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He shall cry to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. And that was Psalm 89, verses 14 through 26 from the English Standard Version.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Psalms book 89, verses 27 through 39. And I will make him a firstborn, the highest of the kings on the earth. My steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. I will establish his offspring forever and his thrones as the days of the heavens. If his children forsake my law and do not walk accordingly to my rules, if they violate my status and do not keep my commandments, then I will punish their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with the stripes. But I will not remove from him my steadfast love or be false to my faithfulness. I will not violate my covenant, or alter the words that went forth from my lips. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness I will not lie to David. His offspring shall endure forever, his throne as long as the sun before me. Like the moon it shall be established forever, a faithful witness with skies. But now you have cast off and rejected. You are full of wrath against your anointed. You have renounced the covenant with your servant, and you have defiled his crown in the dust. Psalm 89.
And finishing Psalm 89 from the English Standard Version, verses 40 through 52. You have breached all his walls. You have laid his strongholds in ruins. All who pass by plunder him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his foes. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword, and you have not made him stand in battle. You have made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. You have cut short the days of his youth. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? How long will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what vanity you have created all the children of man. What man can live and never see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David? Remember, O Lord, how your servants are mocked, and how I bear in my heart the insults of all the many nations, with which your enemies mock, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen.
Well, as I said, whenever we read a long chapter of Scripture, there's so much there to discern, so much there to talk about, so much there to learn, so much wealth, you might say, to dig through. But the chapter starts off with, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. So mercy and faithfulness are obviously some of the key characteristics, if you will, of our Heavenly Father. And when there have been different styles through different denominations over the years, that how do they praise the Lord? And of course, in this particular case, we're told, I will sing. So singing is something that obviously pleases the Lord, that he's asked for, and that with my mouth. And it's interesting, it says with my mouth instead of saying we will sing of the mercies of the Lord. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth I'll make known. So the personal aspect of that is saying, well, nobody else is singing. Yes, but you should be singing. Nobody else is praising. Yes, but you should be praising. Nobody else is declaring your faithfulness to all generations. Now, declaring to all generations is an interesting word because or phrase, because we're declaring to all generations even today. Okay, how many generations do you get to talk to? I mean, there have been some situations that I've been in where I actually was speaking to four generations. And so the issue could say, well, I was declaring your mercies, Lord, singing of your mercies, and with my mouth I was declaring your faithfulness to all the generations I could. And of course, this also refers to not just the generations that are extant now, that are alive now, but all generations, meaning throughout the years that this gets passed on. And with most of the statistics that I've been reading, and I get something by email of George Barna, who I met years ago, and he's doing different statistics about what's happening in the church and what people believe and so forth and so on, that someone whoever the someone or someones are, have not done a pretty good job of passing on these things to the next generation. Or the next generation has been blocked, if you will. Their hearing has been blocked, their eyesights have been blocked, and everything else by the work of the enemy, so that the truth won't be passed on. One of the things it's quite obvious, it's mentioned several times in this passage of Scripture, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have made a covenant. And of course, we talk about covenant marriage. We talk about a variety of different covenants. And of course, in 1 Kings 8:16 and 2 Samuel 7:11, it talks about covenant there. And of course, I have sworn to my servant David. Now, here's the Lord saying, I have sworn a covenant with somebody. Well, that's something you can take to the bank. That's something that you can be sure of. That's one thing. Of course, we have people that are covenant breakers all the time, contract breakers all the time, and that's prophesied for us. We read in 2 Timothy that in the end times that people will be covenant breakers. They'll be truce breakers, and that's happening all the time. A lot of times they're making the truce while they're figuring out how to break it right there and then. But the Lord is not that way. His character is such that he makes a covenant and he keeps that covenant. And the heavens will praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness also in the assembly of the saints. Okay, the assembly of the saints, we'd be describing the church. That in the church, the bride of Christ, the ecclesia, always that this is happening, that if everyone takes their responsibility to declare the mercies of the Lord by singing that, and also the faithfulness of the Lord, and of course, the assembly of the saints. And there's the word the saints in there, because we know now that many, in particular one denomination that wants to designate those as the saints. We are the ones that tell you who a saint is. But the Lord tells us who a saint is. And of course, he also has an assembly of them. So that's not just a few. That means there's more than just a few saints. The saints of God, those people that are obeying the Lord, those people that know the Lord, those people that want to please the Lord, they are his saints. And so as you continue through this chapter there, God is greatly in verse 7, greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. So what kind of things happen in the assembly of the saints? First of all, that there'll be singing of the mercies of the Lord. There'll be testimony of the faithfulness of the Lord. Of course, the word faithfulness pops up a couple of times, and mercy a couple of times too. So that will happen. But God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. How would we describe that, greatly to be feared? And actually, I've looked at that many times and thought, for example, you can look in Psalm 76, verses 7 and 11, talks about that also. But the fear of God is something that is very absent today in the church, and the fear of God is very absent in our society. We don't have many people who would be described as God-fearing people, both in the church and outside of the church. And so many foolish things happen in the church that shouldn't, I think, happen, according to the scriptural thing, and the very things that need to be happening. It's like saying, okay, you go prepared. When you come to the house of the Lord, you come prepared to do those things that are pleasing to the Lord, because you have a fear of him, not a fear that he is mean, not a fear that he is willy-nilly, not a fear that you don't know what to expect from him. Quite the contrary. We know that. And our Lord is God of hosts, and who is mighty like you, O Lord? So that also sets a thinking, who is mighty like you, O Lord? we're going to trust in government, as we sometimes do. We're going to trust in medicine, trust in doctors. It was interesting in discussing with the surgeon the other day. He said, I'm going to get you 30 more years. And I said, well, you know, that's very nice of you to say, but my belief is the only one that can get me 30 more years is the Lord God Almighty. But I will pray that he will direct your hand and direct your abilities. You obviously have that, and, you know, you're a very intelligent person, but it's the Lord. If we're going to have 30 more years, it's because of the Lord. And your faithfulness also surrounds you. If you were to ask this question of the Holy Spirit or ask somebody that you trusted, well, what surrounds me? You know, when I come into the room or when I come to you, what is it that surrounds me? You know, or, I mean, some people say, well, what surrounds you is you always seem stressed out. Or what surrounds you is you always seem to have an axe to grind. You always have a bitterness. You always have an anger. You always have a, you know, something. That's what surrounds you. But what surrounds the Lord is faithfulness. Whatever the Lord has promised to do, he's doing. And I'm saying, putting it in the present tense, whatever he has promised to do, he is doing, because his promises extend over generations and his promises extend over different time periods, so he's doing it. Of course, to demonstrate that, you rule the raging of the sea when it waves, when its waves rise, you still them. And of course, who did that? You remember Jesus was in the back of the boat and Peter woke him up, said, don't you know we're perishing? And Jesus got up and said, peace be still. So there we have, this is messianic, if you will, text. And of course, the Savior, Jesus, is hidden in this. And of course, the covenant through David, the covenant was made that through the generations, his household would be maintained because Jesus comes from the house of David as well. And of course, that king that the Lord said was the apple of his eye, David, really demonstrating that, of course, Jesus being the apple of his father's eye, Jesus being the firstborn among many, and did exactly what the Father wanted him to do and please the Father. You go to verse 13. You have a mighty arm, strong is your hand, and high is your right hand. Now, these things in righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. We're always looking for justice. We're always looking for people to do the righteous thing. And obviously, as I have just experienced this morning, earlier, about a situation of somebody I would expect to do better, would expect to do something righteous, would expect to be just, is using what position of power that they have to do the opposite of that. Not righteous at all, not just at all. Mercy and truth go before your face. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Now, what is that joyful sound, interestingly enough? And actually, if we were to go to Psalm 98:6, and you might just turn there for a minute, because some things in that verse that I think would be worth looking at. Psalm 98:6. Psalm 98:6 says, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, shout joyfully before the Lord, the King. And of course, it's so often that I say, we'll have no king but King Jesus. I'm shouting joyfully before the Lord, the King. Who is the King? And of course, with trumpets and the sound of a horn, some gatherings do not use any musical instruments at all. They say that that's not biblical or that's not right. Of course, you know, we like to start our services off by blowing the shofar. which is the sound of a horn, and we blow it joyfully. So we endeavor to keep what the scriptures say without saying, okay, we don't need to do this, throw this away. It's like, okay, when you're building or rebuilding something, you start throwing parts away? No. And it's not legalistic to do things the way the Lord has described in His Word that please Him. It's a wise thing to do that. And of course, as we look along to some of the other verses there, and we're not going to have the time to go through every single one of the 52 verses. I have found my servant David, verse 20, with my holy oil I have anointed him. And of course, you remember that Samuel, the prophet Samuel, actually went and poured oil over David, the oil of anointing. And of course, David was not the one that the father would have picked out, as he had other sons and little David. So the oil of anointing, pouring that, and of course the oil of anointing has a representation to us of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that the Lord wants to do with all of us, that we have that anointing. And all the things that were promised to David, but my faithfulness, in verse 24, my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Of course, we look at that, exalting his horn. Kind of hard to say what his horn is, but let's just say when David would come in as king riding on a white mule, there would be a fanfare of horns announcing him. And of course, we know that this is also more or less a coming of Jesus thing, because we know the angels will be announcing with horns the second coming of Jesus. So the horn aspect is mentioned there too, to make an announcement so nobody will miss the announcement. That's the whole point. And the town crier idea, or even the Minutemen of Lexington ringing the bell, firing the cannon, blowing the bugle, the idea of making an announcement that everyone will hear. Everyone will recognize. Nobody will say, okay, I didn't hear the announcement. I remember when being a kid in elementary school, and we had a PA system, even in those days, as old as it was, not like the modern good ones that they had, but before any announcement, there was like a buzzer. So that, you know, if you were just riding along or whatever that you were doing, the buzzer went off and it caught your attention, and I'd stop what I was doing, and most everyone else would too, and listen for the announcement. Hear this. And of course, they do that on radio when they're going to announce about storm warnings or something. A strange sound comes on. So we're being conditioned in that sense by the Lord to recognize that when the trump of God shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. When the trump of God shall sound. And so all this time when we've been blowing the shofar, and that's kind of doing the same thing and making sure that people will be alert to it and that we expect to have the announcement. Verse 28, once again the word covenant, my mercy I will keep for him forever, and my covenant shall stand firm with him. Wouldn't it be wonderful to think that people in our lives would say, I make an agreement with you, and as God is my witness and my help, I will stand my covenant, I will make good my covenant, and as firm as the days of heaven. Push on in this chapter. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as a sun before me. It shall be, in those verse 36 and 37, it shall be established forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky, Selah. So there's a break right there, whenever you see a Selah. basically that means, so let it be. And of course that God Almighty, in the writing of his word, and for us to be able to read, is saying, okay, I'm establishing the throne of Jesus forever. And of course you think about the moon being the sky forever. It established be forever like the moon, even like the faithful witness in the sky. So we have a faithful witness in the sky, the moon, and of course here we are on the 12th day of March, which becomes the spring forward. But we saw last night the sky was very clear. It was cold, but we had a bright moon in the sky. And that moon, of course, is a witness, just the same as the Lord used the rainbow, which has been misused in present generation. But the rainbow, the Noahic covenant, saying, I will not flood the earth again. And this is my covenant. You can see these things in the sky, so to speak. So, you have broken down all his hedges. Verse 40. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by the way plunder him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. And of course, this is talking about the cast off and the abhorred. You've been furious with your anointed. You have renounced the covenant of your servant. You profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. And of course, this is basically speaking of blasphemy and God's people not obeying, God's people not revering him, and not doing the things that he is asked to do. Now, I want to skip down to verse 46. Particularly because there's a question there that I think all of us right now are asking. We see things that are happening in our society, and particularly in America and other parts of the world, but in America, we Americans are concerned because we have believed to ourselves to be a Christian nation, and every reason to believe that. But there are things that are going on now. We say, okay, Lord, how long? How long will you hide yourself forever? Now, many people have said with the election of Donald Trump, we have a reprieve. And maybe that's true. But still the question comes up, how long, Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men? And sometimes when you see the very, I was going to say, stupid things that people do, or the very mean things that people do, or the very evil and sinful things that people do, you'd ask that question. How long, Lord? How long is this going to go on? When are you going to straighten all this out? And of course, we don't know, but after verse 48, it's once again another Selah, which is another break, you might call it, in the scriptures, in making it, so let it be. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? Selah. And none of us can do that. There are people talking about cryogenics, talking about things that extend people's lives. If you take this pill or take this one other thing, and we can certainly eliminate or alleviate, is the better word, some suffering. But we're not going to be able to extend our lives beyond what the Lord wants them to be. Of course, we know that when God created Adam and Eve, they were created to live forever. And they violated God's principles, and that shortened their life, you say. So as we go to the end of the chapter, Lord, where is your form in loving kindness, which you swore to David in your truth? And okay, if everyone in this room and everyone that's listening to our service would answer that question, Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your truth? Well, I've got an answer for that. Where are they? They're right here. The loving kindnesses. It's interesting, it's not just the loving kindness. If we think of how many things the Lord has been kind to us in, the many kindnesses that He's shown us. And I recently sent out a couple of emails, one in particular, to somebody who was particularly kind to me in Louisville, Kentucky last week. And I said, thank you for your kindness. I appreciated it. And so we say that to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness to us. We appreciate that. I appreciate that, Lord. With which your enemies have reproached, O Lord. With which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. And the footsteps of your anointed. I can't help but to think that referring to Jesus, the footsteps of Jesus being reviled, his footstep going up the Via Dolorosa, and of course as we're entering in the season that we celebrate Jesus' death and resurrection, those footsteps on the Via Dolorosa that was put upon and people spit on him and did mean things to him and so forth and so on. But we know that Jesus did what he was supposed to do. And so the chapter finishes, I think, appropriately. And this, of course, is book 3 of the book of Psalms, going to the 4th book of the book of Psalms. And it finishes in verse 52, appropriately, I think. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. When you see two amens, instead of just saying amen, but saying amen and amen, that's like putting a double lock on it. And of course, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Now the issue is, we know the Lord is blessed. Why is the statement there? This is a statement from a heart that loves the Lord. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. The Lord is blessed forevermore without me doing anything. But the issue is by me having a heart of love for the Lord and letting the Lord to work in my heart in that way, then I can spontaneously say, blessed be the Lord forevermore. Now, would somebody with another translation, this is the King James translation, read that verse again, verse 52?
It's blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen.
Okay, so more or less the same. They left off the more. I like the forevermore, you know. It's forever and more. Not just forever, but and forever and more. Of course, forever is eternity. But it's like saying even more, and that's why it has a double amen there. And so that's the attitude of gratitude that we should have on a daily basis, no matter what is going on. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us today. We thank you for the opportunity to be studying the Word of God. We thank you. We've had spring forward, that in this month is spring coming, the end of winter, and trees will be blooming and being resurrected, it seems, as if they were dead. Reminding us, Lord, that we love you, and that you love us especially, forevermore. Amen and amen.